I'll take them flat possums, fold them over, put lettuce, tomato, and sour cream in there, call them possum tacos. Me, my daddy can whip any man east of the Mississippi River, and when I was 5 years old, I could whoop my daddy. I don't even shave in the morning. I just hammer in the bristles and bite them off inside. I was raised along Nassawonga Creek. Y'all know where that is?
No.
That sorry place. You know anything about hot weather?
Yes.
I mean hot weather.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, have you ever seen it so hot that when the birds come down in the morning, had to use pot holders to get worms out of the ground?
No.
I'm talking about hot weather. I remember one summer, I was about 8 years old. I looked out the window in the middle of the day in June. It was so hot, our cow was laying down on her back out in the pasture. You know, with all 4 feet stuck straight in the air. It's so hot, that cow was giving herself a milk shower for relief. I mean, ma'am, ain't that utterly fantastic when you think on it? I'm talking about hot weather. And in the wintertime, I grew up where we used to have what we call seven-dog winters. Y'all know what a seven-dog winter is? That's the number of dogs you have to pull in bed at night to be able to get through the night. It's cold. In fact, I remember one winter, we snuggled in between blocks of ice to make it through the night. That's cold, isn't it? I was your age. I was walking to the barn one time. It was so cold, my shadow froze to the ground. To this day, I don't have a whole shadow with me. What are you all looking at?
Shadow.
You starting to believe me, weren't you?
Yeah, it's right here.
You believe me too, huh? Well, if you're about 20 or 30 years older, I'd like to meet you again. I'm talking about cold weather. I tell you, I've seen the flames in the fireplace freeze up solid in the summertime, wintertime too. My mama would take that frozen fire, break it off and grind it up, ma'am, and can it. We use it like hot pepper in our food all year round. Oh yeah! No, I'm just kidding about that. I'll tell you what was misery though. How many here ever milked a cow with their hands?
Not me.
Y'all know what, anybody here ever milked a cow in the wintertime? Where'd you grow up at? Yes, ma'am. Oh, you don't even know what wintertime is. They have to tell you on TV it's wintertime. You can't imagine. When I was in school, before I could get on the school bus in the morning, I had to go down in the barn. In the coal barn, there was no electricity in those days. And have to peel your gloves off your nice warm hands and reach out and grab a hole of a cold, cold, cold cow. That's not funny, that's miserable. Yes, it is. In fact, I remember one day, I put my nice warm hands on that cold cow. She turned right around and looked at me and said, "Oh, that feels so good." That's cold now, isn't it? I've even seen it so cold, I had to use a pair of pliers to milk cows. You get one squirt of milk before it hit bon pan, freeze solid. Pop those squirts off and stack them up like firewood, carry them in the house. That's true. I wouldn't lie about something like that. You two remind me of my baby sister, except there's only one of them. We were down the barn one winter doing some work, and my sister was telling me a great story, but I couldn't hear nothing because the words would come out of her mouth about that far, and they'd freeze up solid. They did. I'd eat fried chicken before I'd lie about something like that. I took a basket, went around, got them frozen words out of the air, carried them in the house so they could thaw out, and I heard what she was telling me about. That's true. And wind. You all know anything about heavy wind? I'll tell you some Georgia, and well, this is Southern history, actually. You check it out when you get home, because I don't tell no lies. I'd walk on my lips before I tell a lie. The wind blew so hard in the South in 1933, the days of the week got all mixed up. Sundays blew right in on Wednesday afternoons. Took them 6 months to get it straightened out. You don't believe you do.
No.
How many people here go to church on Wednesday night? How do you think it got started? I don't mind about stuff like that. I never will forget, I come home from school one day, and my daddy met me coming in. He said, "Chuck, we going to get ready."
"What, Daddy?"
"We going to get ready."
"Daddy, they ain't taught me in school that word."
"Son, it's the reverse of poor." I was raised during the Great Depression, but I didn't know we were poor. I'll admit, until I went to the first grade, I didn't have no clothes. They gave us a baseball hat like this, you know, where we could stand and look out the window. And all the neighbors thought we had clothes on like everybody else. And finally got to first grade, I got my first pair of pants. We didn't have no shoes. We painted our feet black and laced up our toes. Oh, yeah. Listen, I was 3 years old before I found out that Alpo was dog food. I still fight my dog over breakfast at times. Listen, and when we got that first pair of pants in school, didn't have no smooth plastic seats like today. Those old hard wooden seats with splinters on them. No time at all, you tear a hole in the britches of your pants. And your mama would make you stand on your head so she could sew your pants up. Yeah. That's why you see a lot of men my age don't have no hair up here. You know anybody like that?
Yeah, I know.
You ask him if that's how he got bald. He'll tell you the truth.
My daddy ain't got no hair.
Well, he probably grew up poor, too. Either that or he had a lot of dogs and had the mange. I said, "Daddy, how are we going to get rich?" "That we going to raise popcorn." I didn't even know what it was. We planted 5 acres of popcorn. That's about the size of this whole grounds here. Did any of y'all ever see popcorn grown in the field?
No.
This is a culturally deprived group, ain't it?
How big were they?
They look like a regular ear of sweet corn. You can't tell no difference. And we had a barn maybe as 4 times, 5 times as big as this room here, and the roof went up about 4 times. We filled that thing right up to the old round tin roof with ears of popcorn. That's a lot. My daddy had to find someone to sell it to. Well, what happened? See, you're supposed to shuck the leaves off those ears of corn, you know, before you put them in the barn. We didn't know that. First time we ever raised popcorn on the farm, in our farm. It was so hot that summer. You go outdoors carrying an umbrella because the flies were sprinkling down with heat stroke, just like raindrops. It was. And the wind started blowing through that barn, and those ears of popcorn, instead of being packed tight, they shrunk up and got loose packed. Wind started, rub your hands together. That wind started making those ears rub like ever. Woo! That's called friction. Gets warm, don't it? I had just stepped out the back door of our house when I heard a snap, crackle, and pop. I turned, looked at the barn. Boom! The barn blew up. The old tin roof looked like a frisbee going out in the woods. And up come this incredible, beautiful column of white popping popcorn. Come right up through past the walls of the barn, up over the oak tree. Have you ever seen popcorn rising on the stove?
Yeah.
Imagine a huge room 4 times big as this, all going up in the air, white popping popcorn. In fact, you may not believe this part, but it took 2 people to see the top of the column when it finally got finished.
No, I don't.
Oh, now I told you I would never tell no lie. Cross wire my heart, hope to fry, I'd tell no lie. Read my lips, I don't lie. I love that one from our president. Read my lips, I don't tell no lies. Anyhow, this is a sad story, folks. You see, the wind started blowing that white popcorn off the top of that column. and sprinkling it down over the east pasture, where we had 10 of the dumbest cows you ever seen. It's not funny. It's not. No, sir, it ain't funny. The dumb cows had never seen white pop, pop, pop. They thought they're in the middle of a snowstorm blizzard. 7 of them froze to death. And the other 3 gave off ice cream for 6 weeks. And that's a true story.
Thank you, Joe. I know every word you say was true.
And I was about, there's a farm. I ain't going to tell you about the farm. I did that first time around, and it's a sorry place, and the memories are bad, and I don't want to do it again. But I moved into Pocomoke when I was about 10 years old. Pocomoke's an old Indian word. It means industrial park. Small town. You know anything about small towns? You ever seen a small town? Well, if you stood on a hill overlooking Pocomoke, sir, you could overlook Pocomoke. Pocomoke's so small, our power station was a Sears Roebuck diehard. Ain't much to it. In fact, the big sport there in Pocomoke, when I was a boy, my granddaddy out on his farm, he was a farmer, businessman. He had a little bottling plant. He had a beverage called Summer Vacation. You take 3 or 4 sips of it, you know, and you'd go on a trip. In fact, the boys in town used to come out, 5 or 6 of them, sit in a circle and pass a half a pint round 3 times. And the game was one fella would get up and leave the circle and the rest had to guess who it was. But anyhow, that's what Pocomoke was like. I got to go back a few years ago, and I hadn't been there in about 40 years. And it was wonderful. You know, they say you can't go back to your hometown, but it hadn't changed. And in fact, the big sport now is dumpster diving. They had a dumpster with big sliding glass doors down one side, you know, where you could do window shopping before you dove. Did you ever do any diving here in North Georgia or North Florida? I seen I passed a dumpster coming in. That guy had his diving flag up. Well, you get hit by a 30-pound bag of garbage, you know what. And what I loved is that the men still wear Vitalis on their hair, and they can still get dates. That's my hometown. But anyhow, my first time to come down south, I arrived, my uncle, John, and Aunt Irene were ridge farmers up in the north end of Habersham County, which is up in the ridge country of the Appalachian Mountains in North Georgia. They was ridge farmers. I know you all don't know what that is, because if this isn't a culturally deprived area, have you ever seen a cornfield that goes straight up in the air? My Uncle John, you don't plow those things with no tractor. It's too steep. Or even a mule and plow don't work. He raised razorback hogs. Well, you all don't even know what a razorback hog is, do you? Y'all know what ugly is? That's what a razorback hog is. A razorback hog is so... Well, I'll tell you. One of them fell in a pond, and they was only in the water 10 minutes. They scummed ugly off the pond for a whole year after that. And the mountain species of razorback got these long ears with holes in the bottom of the earlobe and long back legs. First time I ever seen one, I said, what do they wear? Great big earrings? But what it is, them hogs root up the side of a ridge, turn around, tuck them long back legs in them ear holes, and slide down the root path. And so when he's ready to get the field ready for planting, he just ties a little disc, that looks like a little tiny frisbee, on that hog's tail and throws some table scraps out of dust. By morning, they have rooted and disced the whole ridge. Then he just takes a bucket of seed grain and a slingshot and seeds the side of the hill the next day. Oh yeah. And when he's ready to harvest, hits the side the hill with a 2x4 and the yes, sir, vegetables, yes, ma'am, vegetables roll right down to you. I wouldn't lie about something like that. He had the catch fence across the bottom, though. That's right. And I wouldn't lie about that. The only time he ever had any problem is about 15, 20 years ago. He planted some of them hot Mexican jalapeno peppers along the catch fence. Oh, that was an error. It was so hot that summer. In fact is, it was so hot that I went down fishing in the pond one day and I met fish swimming up the road in the dust because the pond was boiling. That gets pretty hot. Wouldn't you say that was hot? You don't know about that. Have you ever seen hot weather? Have you ever seen birds have to use potholders to get worms out of the ground? I'm talking about serious hot. Whew! Anyhow, a 450-pound hog got loose and got up in the tater patch. It was right in the middle of the day. In fact, the cows were all laying down on their back giving themselves milk showers for relief. That's hot. And the heat from them jalapeno peppers rising up that ridge was too much. That hog flat out melted. All Uncle John got out of the field was a whole mess of French fried potatoes. Y'all supposed to laugh there? No, I'm just kidding about that. My first trip in, I was 9 years old. And if you can remember back, you grown-ups, the first time an adult treated you like an adult. I arrived and my Aunt Irene said, "Jack, would you like to go hunting with me and Shorty?" My Aunt Irene invited me to go hunting? Oh, I knew I had arrived in adulthood. She was a muzzle-loading rifle hunter. I have seen her trim the toenails off squirrels at 100 yards. Then she'd go over and shake the tree, and the poor little squirrels would fall down and knock themselves out. That way she didn't tear up the flesh by shooting them like other hunters do. I remember one time Thanksgiving when I was about your age, real young. She took me, she said, "Let's go get a turkey for dinner." And she took that old muzzle loader and put some black powder down it, and then loaded it up with chunks of carrot and taters and celery and old stale bread and salt and pepper.
Oh, God.
And we're about 2 miles from the cabin when all of a sudden a wild turkey took off in the air. Wham! She fired that mess. Smoke and feathers was everywhere. I was about 6 years old. I looked around, said, "Aunt Irene, I don't see no turkey you missed. Na, 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 na."
I never did that again.
She said, "You just wait, we get home, smarty pants." Got back to the cabin, opened the door. It smelled so good. I couldn't believe what I'd seen. She'd not only killed that turkey, but blown all the feathers off, cleaned it, stuffed it, and knocked it 2 miles through the air, down the chimney, and it was sitting on the cooking rack almost ready to eat. Well, anyhow, she whistled up Shorty. Now, country people nickname their animals off their body characteristics. Shorty, when he was a little puppy, they cut his tail off right in behind his head. So he was short. My buddy Frederick had one called Frosty. I never will forget. I take my hat off to Frosty. He was a foxhound. Oh, they called him Frosty because he had an incredible cold nose. In fact, we had to bottle feed that puppy. His mama wouldn't let him get in that close with that nose of his. And when he was grown up, all went out in the barnyard, all the other dogs would sit down. But that's where he got his. Anyhow, Shorty. Y'all had to think on that one. First thing Shorty did is Aunt Irene taped his right nostril down. Left nostril open, he went after deer. If you close the left nostril, left the right one open, he went after raccoon. Upper left was for dove, upper right duck, lower left squirrel, lower right were rabbit. Unusual hunting dog even in the old days. Well, she'd take down that right nostril, we going for deer. And they had this little round lake in front of their place. We were about halfway around the lake. Shorty flushed up a 12-point buck deer. Oh, it was awesome. I thought we were going to go ahead and follow the deer and Shorty on around till she could get a shot. She had that old muzzle loader, a little satchel with her. Shorty just going, wow, wow, wow. You know how little dogs go. Aunt Irene turned on me, pointed to a log and said, "Chunk, sit down on that log and hesh up." Now, hesh up is an old mountain word. Y'all may not know it. It means don't be seen twitching or heard breathing. Now, some of you young men down here in Florida may not have had an opportunity in life to meet a woman raised in the mountains. Are there any mountain ladies here? She will verify what I say. Them women in the mountains is different, aren't they, ma'am?
Yes.
They put their earrings on with staple guns. I've seen these ladies pick up crowbars and knit barbed wire fences and use them as comforters. Mountain women are tougher than woodpecker lips. So when these ladies say, "Hush up," you settle down. Well, Shorty was trained to run that buck deer around the lake path, past the oak tree, the barn, farmhouse, around where she just wanted me to see that humongous deer come galloping by, and it was just incredible vision. I was close to 15 feet from it. I can see him in my head today. Like most true stories, this is a sad story. It's not funny, it's sad. You see, Shorty was barking up a storm, you know, going bow, wow, wow, wow. And he weren't, it's not funny, he weren't looking where he was running. And there was a sharp rock sticking up in the air. And it caught him on the tip of his nose, and it split him right through his tail. He went plop, plop. You folks laugh at something like that? Aunt Irene said, "Oh, gosh almighty." Reached up and ripped some pine sap off the tree and slopped it on that little dog. Took her kerchief bandana off, slapped them together, tied them up good, and said, "Get going." Dog took off. But you know what happens when you're too much of a hurry? Don't think and plan but what you're going to do. You ever do something like that? Get things upside down and wrong. Just like poor Shorty. There he was running with two legs down, two legs up. Dog ain't got no speed like that. Good stamina. Them legs, man, get tired, he just flip over, run on the other two. He actually learned to build up speed. I seen him about a year later. Going after a rabbit, he went uphill and cartwheeled down after the rabbit. And then he split and went around a tree and came together on the other side. I'm lying about that part. The rest of it was true. Aunt Irene could see right off that Shorty weren't going to catch that buck deer. So she took that old muzzle loader and poured some black powder down the barrel. Reached down her satchel. Got a box of rock salt, poured it down. Then she reached in and got a box of long carpet tacks and poured them down. Then she reached in and got a box of broken Barlow knife blades, sharpened on all sides, and poured them down. I tell you the truth, I'd get nervous. Then she took a round mini ball, took her little pocket knife, cut a little wedge out of the side of that round mini ball and pushed it down the barrel and started lifting it up in the air. I said, "Aunt Irene, that thing gonna blow up and kill us." She said, "Hush up, Chuck." Well, I got in behind a big old oak tree to hush up that time. But I did peek. She laid that thing all the way out here on the left. I thought she was gonna wait for that buck deer to come around where she could shoot. She didn't. She watched him around the far side of the lake. All of a sudden, boom, she fired that mess. It was so thick, I could see it come out of the barrel and I got my first lesson in physics that day. That notch in the side of that mini ball made that thing slice to the right, and it followed the curvature of the lake. And the wind drag sucked the rest of the mess along behind it. Aunt Irene never looked. She watched that buck deer, and when he passed the barn and got down by the oak tree where there was some rope hanging off a limb, she went, yeah! Scared that deer, and he leapt in the air, got that rack of antlers caught in that rope, and he was hanging there, kicking when that mini ball come all the way around the lake, hit him in the middle of his forehead, killed him dead in a doornail. Barlow knife blades flowed in, skinned and field dressed him. Long carpet tacks put that hide up on the side of the barn, and the rock salt started curing the hide. Folks, that's when I become a feminist.